All the years I've been a Christian and sat on that side of the podium, I have never heard anybody teach Leviticus chapter 15. So we're going to talk about some, no pun intended, major issues tonight. If you read ahead, you know what I'm talking about. So, Leviticus 15. And you know, we kind of boast at Calvary Chapel that we go through all of God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I'll tell you what, you get to chapters like this and it stretches you a little bit. But at the same time, there's some important stuff here tonight. God has things in His Word, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And there's some things tonight we're going to talk about that are kind of shocking. People read and go, whoa, what's this all about? Well, I'll do the best I can to explain what this is all about. But it is really, really important. It has to do with personal hygiene. I called the message tonight A Nation of Sanitation. And we're not talking about the guys that pick up the trash. We're talking about the practice of hygienic conditions. It was important then with Israel. It's important now, isn't it? Look around, man. Everybody's got the hand sanitizer going and the wipes and the whole thing. And everybody's got the cootie syndrome. They're afraid they're going to catch cooties everywhere they go. They don't want to touch a doorknob. Then, you know, it's like, man, it's crazy. Why? Because a lot of the issues, if you would, have gotten out of control. And so tonight we're going to look at God's Word and see what He says about a nation of sanitation. It applies to Israel, applies to America today. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We do pray for our precious sister, Ollie. Give her good days with what she's dealing with. And also, she's just getting over shingles, poor thing. So help her, Lord. Be with Eileen. Give her strength as she is so faithful to take care of her mom, sat in the chair all night next to her. And we do pray for Sharon Green. Be with her, Father. Whatever is going on in her body, just show the nurses and the doctors how to treat her. Give Luther peace. I know what it's like firsthand to have a wife that's hurting and sick and not know what's going on. Father, I pray for anyone else in this fellowship that is going through physical, spiritual, emotional, financial problems. Thank You, God, that You are God. You are sovereign. And everything that we face in life has to pass through Your nail-scarred hands. We thank You, Lord, that we can have the assurance that if our feet are on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, we shall not be moved. Storms will come, the winds will blow, but thank You, God, that we will not fall. And so tonight we commit this time to You. Teach us through Your Word. Thank You for Your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the key word tonight in the book of Leviticus is the word to discharge. And we're not talking militarily. We're going to find the word discharge or issue 24 times in this chapter. So let's read the first section, verses 1 through 14. And then we'll come back, 1 through 15, and we'll come back and we'll go over it. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this discharge shall be his uncleanliness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge, it is his uncleanness. Every bed is unclean in which he who has a discharge lies, and everything on it which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has a discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him who has a discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and unclean till evening. If he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he has the discharge ride shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening." Wow. "And whomever The one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. When he who has a discharge is cleansed from his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days. For his cleansing, wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water. Then he shall be clean. On the 8th day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest. As I mentioned, the one word that, of course, stands out in this whole chapter is that of discharge or issue, used 24 times in the chapter. And what the word means in the original language is an outflow. In this case, an outflow of bodily fluids. It may be an unnatural outflow, as we see here in verses 1 to 15, or it can be a natural outflow. We'll see that in verses 16 to 18, 25 to 30. The case being, it was still considered unclean before the Lord, and was to be dealt with according to the law of God. And isn't it amazing how God deals with everything? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. God has set precepts and standards for everything and how to deal with everything. And that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. It gives us all that pertains to life and godliness. God reveals everything to us. And here we are thousands of years later, and it still applies to society today. You see, the natural discharges, of course, did not make one morally unclean. There's a difference. We're going to see 2 different categories for the men and 2 different categories for the women. One was an uncleanliness that was ceremonial. The other is an uncleanliness that has to do with morality. And there is a difference, of course, as you know. And there's also a difference in the way God has outlined on how they should treat it. Whereas the unnatural discharges were morally unclean, and both were dealt with in 2 completely different ways. The natural, as we see here in the first 15 verses, was with the washing of water. The unnatural, that which was caused by immorality, required a blood sacrifice. Why? Because sin requires a blood sacrifice. There are certain discharges, if you would, from the body that are natural with the men and with the women. And so because it's not a moral situation, it's dealt with water to cleanse it. But with the unnatural, it requires a blood sacrifice. Personal hygiene, as well as personal sanctity, is a requirement of holy God. And what we find in society, whether it's thousands of years ago or even today within our own nation, a lot of the personal hygiene that affects us today is caused by immorality in many, many different ways. When a nation is filthy spiritually, a nation is usually filthy physically, if you would. When it's filthy morally, it's many times filthy physically because it affects society. Even to this day, with all of the precautionary measures that we have as humans, there are discharges of blood and fluids that defile us as well as others. We see it today, don't we? In many cases. It's dangerous to handle many bodily fluids today. Ask anyone in the medical field. And it is dangerous today to handle blood because it can cost you your life. In the old days, I remember as a kid, the old days, they would quarantine us for measles. Can't do that anymore. Why? Because they have this thing called confidentiality. How sad it is. There is no such thing as confidentiality before God. And how sad it is that many in today's society, innocent people, are affected by immoral behavior and because of body fluids and blood that has affected our society today physically. You know the story. We read it all the time, don't we? And so in verses 1 to 15, we have what is known as the unnatural male discharges. And God covers it here, doesn't he? He's very clear about what he says. The first section deals with unnatural male discharges. This would include anything from diarrhea to venereal diseases, such as syphilis, gonorrhea, HIV. Today, there are more than 20 types of STDs affecting more than 13 million Americans in our country today. Amazing, isn't it? Anything that the afflicted man touched or spit upon, notice it says in our text tonight, even spitting on someone, the Lord considered it to be unclean. Now, when you go to visit the Middle East, especially in Israel, one of the most vile things that you can do to a person is spit in their face. People will get in arguments, yell and scream at one another, and the last resort is they will spit in one another's face because it's the most vile thing that a person can do in the Middle East, according to what Scripture says. There are no confidentiality laws before Almighty God. He sees everything. That's why he gives standards and precepts and laws in how to handle these things. And there are certain things that should cause a person to be quarantined. We see it here. We see quarantining right here in the Bible, in the Scriptures. Why? Because God wanted a nation of sanitation. He wanted a nation that was clean, not only morally, but physically. And today, there are a lot of things that you and I have to deal with because of immorality that has affected our nation, even physically. God required a nation of sanitation. Again, the word sanitation means the practice of hygienic conditions. And notice what it says in the second part of verse 2, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And so God considers this an extremely serious matter. That's why he devotes a whole chapter to this. And again, that's why a lot of churches today don't deal with, no pun intended, issues like this. As I mentioned Sunday, only 10% of pastors in America's pulpits today deal with issues that we are facing today. Sexual immorality, adultery, pornography, drug abuse and all of these things. There are very few pastors, 90% I guess, that don't deal with real issues in the church today. How sad. People need to know the truth of God's word. And yes, it is uncomfortable to teach a chapter like this. I've been wrestling with this for a week. Now you've said to Tina, man, look what I got to teach next week. That's like, whoa. She's probably happy she's in Eisenhower tonight. Didn't have to go through this chapter, you know. But it's here for a reason, isn't it? Would you say that this applies to our culture today? Look at what we're dealing with. God considers it extremely serious. Number one, as we see in verse 4, he says, every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. Wow. Why? Because disease was passed on through these issues, these bodily fluids that came from this unclean person's body. Also in verses 7 and 8, it says, whoever touches him is considered unclean. Down in verses 9 and 10, any saddle, anything under him, anything he carries, unclean. Verse 12, cups and dishes. You know, the possibility of infection was taken very, very seriously. You know, it seems as though in our culture today, when something breaks out, all, you know, praise God that we have scientists that can find the cure in many cases. Some of them we can't. Scripture says in the last days there will be pestilence, there will be incurable diseases because of the vileness of mankind, because of sin running rampant in the world and in our nation. And it seems as though, you know, when something would break out back, way back when, when syphilis first broke out and gonorrhea, of course, penicillin came along and it was a cure. And mankind figured they could just continue on in their immorality because they had a cure for whatever they caught. But look what's happened now. You know, mankind still pursues all of these vile things, and it just seems as though the diseases and the STDs get more and more extreme. And then mankind seeks to find a cure, not to make people well, but so that they can continue in their sin. How tragic is that? That's what we're dealing with today. And unless the heart changes, the behavior won't. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. It's deep down within a man's soul. And we see the results here. The possibility of infection was taken very seriously. It was, because it would spread like wildfire. Yet notice, by the goodness, the grace, the love, and the mercy of Holy God, He made provision for cleansing. And you know, sometimes I have to teach on tough stuff, and I do because it's in Scripture. But God also shows His love and His grace and His mercy too. He exposes these things so we can deal with them. And there's always a way back. There's always God's goodness. Excuse me. And the man with the discharge could get well. Look at verses 13 and 14. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water, then he shall be clean. On the 8th day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest. You see, God heals him because the man has turned and the man has gone through the process of being made well. And so he waits a week to make sure that it's gone. Then he washes himself and he washes his clothes. And it says on the 8th day, he brings a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle. Atonement's made for him, and he was free to worship the Lord again. Praise God. There's always a way back. Over the years, I've seen so many heartbreaking situations because of sexual immorality. I mean, stories that you would not believe, just heartbreaking things. Years ago, I had a young couple in the office. Not this office. And when they walked through the doors, they were pale. Almost like the look I saw in Tina's face the other day when she got the bad news. Well, they got the bad news. This guy had a drug problem. And whenever he went out and did drugs, he would run off. And as a married man, he would have sex with other men. And numerous times he had been in the office. And I warned him. I said, "You're playing Russian roulette." "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry." Crocodile tears, the whole thing. But you know what? This time, when he came in with his wife, there was a bullet in the chamber, if you would. He played Russian roulette 1 too many times. He not only contracted HIV, but he gave it to his wife. And I could tell you story after story after heartbreaking story of what goes on in a society that doesn't deal with sin. And look what we do in America today. You're not politically correct if you don't believe in sexual immorality. You know? And look what's going on in our nation today. God says what He means, and He means what He says about sexual immorality, about disease, and all these other things. And again, there's always a way back. But yet sometimes you reap what you sow, and sin always affects everybody around us. I often hear from people, "Oh, I'm not hurting anyone. Because of my promiscuousness or whatever it might be. I'm not hurting anybody." Bet me. I see the results all the time of what happens. When you plant bad seed, you get a harvest of bad seed. But here we see on the 8th day, 8 in Scripture is a number of new beginnings. God wants all of us to have new beginnings. And yes, He will forgive and He will wash and He will cleanse us of all sin and all unrighteousness. But yet sometimes we reap what we sow. And sometimes we have to suffer the effects of wrong choices that we intentionally make. We can't blame anybody else. You know what? Everybody makes choices. The Bible even says there's pleasure in sin, but only for a season, and then comes judgment. You know, if sin wasn't any fun, we wouldn't have to preach on it. But the after effects are terrible, man. You know, it's... And so we see here for this particular man, he brought a sin offering, atonement was made for him, and he was free to worship the Lord. Today, the water speaks of the washing of the word. Isn't it wonderful? Those of us, we've all been defiled one way or another. But it's the washing of the word and the renewing of our mind that makes us who we are as new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. It's the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that takes a dirty heart, a dirty mind, dirty thoughts, dirty lifestyle, and he washes us and he makes us clean. Isn't it wonderful that God does that with his word for us? Not only that, we see the blood here. Today we have the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and all defilement. Praise the Lord for that. God always provides a way. He always provides a remedy for the defiled. Who are the defiled? The whole human race. God doesn't grade on a curve. Sin is sin. The wages of sin is death for every one of us. You know, and maybe you weren't involved in sexual immorality, but there's a whole lot of other things that Scripture lays out very clearly that defile us and that separate us from God. But it's the blood of Christ and the washing of the Word and the renewing of our mind that brings us back into a right fellowship with Him. And so it's amazing how what happened thousands of years ago still applies to today. God still has made a way back. But we must come according to His Word and His way. We talked about that on Sunday. We come by His standards and not our own. It's almost like high jumping, you know. If you set the bar for yourself, high jumping, you'll win every time. Put it way down here, you know. Maybe way down here for me, you know. But for other people, we set the bar pretty high, don't we? That's the way you need to live, brother. Then we put the bar way down here for us. Well, God has standards. And He sets His standards high, doesn't He? And we can't do it on our own. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural work that takes place in us that causes us to be able to meet the mark. You see, the word sin means to miss the mark. But God wants us to meet that mark, and it can only happen through the Word of God and the washing of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. Then we meet the mark. Because when we confess our sin, He cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. So we got to come His way. We saw that Sunday. Isn't it interesting how we get these threads through a lot of the sermons, Sundays and Wednesdays, and it's like God has been showing us lately that the way is narrow and there are few who find it. The way to destruction is broad. There are many who go there. We need to come on God's terms, God's standards, God's way through God's Son, period. Because there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we go from the unnatural discharges to the natural discharges. Again, those that just make a person ceremonially unclean, not morally unclean. Look at verses 16 to 18. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather in which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Now, verses 16 to 18 does not imply that sexual intercourse between a husband and a wife is dirty. It is not impure. It does not defile. Why? Because the sexual relations between a husband and a wife is a gift from God. And so we see here that it's not the same as the previous section. It is pure when within the marriage covenant, when a husband and wife come together, it's pure when they come together according to Scripture. It's a gift from God. God designed marriage. God established the marriage covenant. God created the gift of a sexual union between a husband and a wife. I repeat, between a husband and a wife. I know things have changed, but God has not changed. It's a husband and a wife. And within the holy bonds of marriage, the husband does not defile the wife, nor does a wife defile her husband with the exchange, of course, of body fluids. Hebrews 13:4 tells us that marriage is honorable among all who are married, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. As was mentioned earlier, there is a ceremonial cleansing. That's what this section is all about. And the previous one was the moral cleansing. This is purely ceremonial, meaning that they were to be clean before they went to the tabernacle of the Lord. And so, since sexual intercourse involves the exchange of bodily fluids between the husband and the wife, they become physically unclean. Very simple. The husband and the wife were to wash themselves and maintain their ceremonial purity. Very simple, you know. I think some of this stuff ought to be taught in public schools, don't you think, from a biblical perspective? I remember in fifth grade, we had a sex education class, and we talked about things, and they showed graphs, and they showed, you know, the reproductive organs and all that stuff. It wasn't dirty then. I was innocent. The kids in the class were innocent. But look at today. You know, look at what they see, and look at what they hear. I remember in Vermont, when my kids were in high school, a lady called me. Her son was in third grade. She says, I want you to come to the elementary school on Monday morning because they are teaching the third graders sex education and Planned Parenthood is coming in to teach it. And I went and I was appalled. I was the only parent there other than the woman that called. No notices went out. And it was the most perverse hour I have ever spent in a classroom in public school. And I can't even mention from the pulpit what I heard. And these poor little third graders are turning their backs away from the speaker because they were so embarrassed about what was being said, and it was absolutely horrible. And you know what, folks? Grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, whoever you are, whatever class you're in, we need to teach our children sex education from God's holy word. Very simply. Otherwise, the world out there will teach them sex education, and it's not going to be from a holy book. It's going to be perverted. I think it's so important, you know, and that's why I'm looking at this chapter, putting it together this week, and I'm going, this is the Word of God. I'm not being profane up here. I'm not being dirty. This is not potty talk. This is the Word of God. He wants us to be educated on things. And we need to educate our kids on things when they're old enough. Don't go home and get your second or third grader and say, you know, here we go. No. When they're ready, when they're mature enough, and when you can sit down and explain to them from God's holy word in a godly way. Man, I'll tell you what, this is the manufacturer's handbook. It covers everything. And it's important to teach them what God's word says about these things. And so here we see, again, it's purely ceremonial. And again, there was no sacrifice required. There was no blood sacrifice required because it wasn't sin. It was just the washing, if you would, that was required because it was a physical thing. There was no sacrifice required for their cleansing, only water, because there was no sin that needed to be atoned for. Pretty simple. And so, we now go in verses 19 to 30. To both the natural discharges of the female as well as the unnatural discharges or issues, if you would, of the female. So in verses 19 to 24, this first, of course, is the natural discharge that females experience. Notice verse 19. If a woman has a discharge and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. Like I said, the Bible covers everything, doesn't it? What we're talking about here, of course, is the woman's period, her menstrual cycle. This is a natural occurrence. That's why this is ceremonial. It has nothing to do with morality because this is a natural cycle that the woman experiences every month. Once again, God was not punishing the woman for that which is a natural part of womanhood. This is part of his divine design so that she would bear children. We talked about that last week, the menstrual cycle and the egg and all. And so, again, she is ceremonially unclean and not morally unclean, okay? You remember the story of the woman that wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. For 12 years, she had a discharge that was incurable. And she could not sit in public. She could not attend tabernacle, if you would, or synagogue. And she was considered unclean. And she was so desperate, she pushed through the crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Isn't it amazing how she who was unclean ceremonially touched him who is clean and he made her clean? It's the same with us today. Those of us who are unclean, whether ceremonially or whether it's morally, all we need to do is touch the hem of Jesus' garment and he makes us clean. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so during the time of her period, and for a week afterwards, she was considered ceremonially unclean and had to be careful where she sat, slept, and what she touched. And again, I don't have to be descriptive. You know, there are certain times when there's issues that, you know, that or discharges that make things unclean, if you would. And so wherever she sat or slept or what she touched was considered ceremonial unclean. Now, many believe that this confinement was actually a blessing in disguise for the woman. Why? Well, it allowed her to rest for a week and to rest and have quiet time, a time for her body to renew itself. And that's what the menstrual cycle does. It renews her body. This is why we have verse 24, just in case you're wondering. Leave her alone. And if a guy, if any man lies with her at all so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days. And every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. Like I said, doesn't the Bible cover everything? What we see here is he forced the issue. No pun intended. Both he and the bed were defiled. He himself would have to be separated for a week, another week after. And so God says that they are to be separated. Give her a time of rest, time for her body to renew itself. This also promotes discipline. It is very, very important that couples be disciplined in their desires and in their behavior. Yes, God created sex for pleasure and for procreation. He makes the rules, doesn't he? He sets the standards. And this is one of them. Self-control, oftentimes, is to be exercised in every aspect of marriage. It's a good thing. Why? Because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And there is no time in the marriage relationship that one person is to take advantage of the other. And here it points to the man. Leave her alone. Don't take advantage of her. And exercise the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Interesting verse. Needless to say. Now, in verses 25 to 30, we now come to the unnatural female discharges. Let's read it, verse 25. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than a time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed in which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity, and whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And again, we see a picture, right, of what that poor lady with the issue of blood went through for 12 long years. Can you imagine? ladies, what that must have been like. Her whole life had changed. And so this is what is known as the unnatural discharge, because it goes way beyond her monthly cycle. And this prolonged discharge, for whatever reason, and it may have been caused by immorality as well, this prolonged discharge would be both physically painful and religiously disastrous for the woman. The woman would be perpetually unclean. Again, Mark 5, Luke 8, where we talk about that woman with the issue of blood. Everything in her life was subject to defilement, according to the Mosaic law. Her husband, her bed, where she sat, all that she touched, no entrance into the temple or the tabernacle. But yet, for the woman in Luke's gospel and Mark's gospel, Jesus made her clean, didn't he? The Lord touched her and made her clean. Jesus makes us clean. Jesus removes defilement. Jesus restores fellowship with that person and with others. Restores them back into the fellowship of believers. Here it was a tabernacle. The unnatural discharge required a blood sacrifice because it was not a ceremonial thing. It wasn't her natural cycle. It was something else that had caused her to be unclean. And so this unnatural discharge required a blood sacrifice. Verse 29 and 30. And on the eighth day, she shall take for herself two turtle doves or two young pigeons and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanliness. Wow. And so, as we wind the chapter down, in all four instances, these regulations for personal purity and sanctity were not just legalistic, pious regulations set forth by the religious leaders. They did that quite frequently, but that's not what this was. These were holy commandments set forth by God for all four of these situations. You see, it was a serious thing to break them. It was a serious thing for the Jewish men and Jewish women to break these laws. Why? Because, number one, it defiled another person. And it defiled things wherever they went. It defiled the tabernacle. It invited the judgment of God. God set these standards and they were to be obeyed. Now notice verses 32 and 33. 31 and 32, I'm sorry. 31 to 33. Thus she shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, lest they die in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for one who has a discharge and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby. And for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity and for one who has a discharge, either man or a woman, or for him who lies with her who is unclean. And so again, we see God's standards, don't we? Bottom line, the title of the sermon, Sanitation for His Nation. And like I said, it still applies to the world, and it applies to America today. God is very much concerned about health, isn't he? He really, really is. He is concerned about his creation. He's concerned about his church. He's concerned about those things that can be eliminated in society if people would just get back to moral cleanliness, which affects physical cleanliness. It's amazing how they go hand in hand. God is very much concerned about health. God upholds the dignity of the person. God upholds the dignity of the body. God upholds the dignity of sexual relationships. He calls people to avoid unhealthy practices. God knows. God designed us. God knows what we deal with then. He knows what we deal with now. And he calls people to avoid these unhealthy things that would defile them and that would defile others and that would defile a nation. He wants us to promote healthy practices with good, solid, practical instruction that comes from the Word of God. Washing is a God-directed means to promote and maintain physical health. We're to keep the temple of the Lord clean, not only on the outside, but on the inside. God's standard of purity preserves people from known and unknown dangers, doesn't it? We can see that today. Look how many things that we're subjected to today because of uncleanliness. And now people are getting a little paranoid. Man, you go to the market and people are wiping off the handles on their carts. You know, a shopping cart. Man, yeah. Cart cooties or what? What's the deal here? And everything. It won't touch a doorknob. You know, it's like, man. I have found, and from what I understand, it's medically true, that when we spread some germs, it's almost like we get vaccinated. I'm always hugging and shaking hands and the whole thing, and I'm rarely ever sick. I probably shouldn't say that. I'll probably be sick tomorrow. But, you know, I don't hug somebody and go and get hand sanitizer out, and, you know, the whole thing. Man, it's like, this stuff doesn't bother me. I trust the Lord for those things. Lord, you want me to minister to people? Okay. Got to hug them and shake hands and all those things. And God wants us to be pure, physically as well as morally. This shows God's high regard for sex and sexuality. Why? Because today sex has been perverted, defiled, and degraded by society, hasn't it? Look what they have done in our culture today with a gift that God gave to a husband and a wife in holy matrimony. It's crazy. Tragically, sex has become public domain rather than private and pure. That's the way God designed it. The good news is this. Jesus Christ has made provision for cleansing. And in those times when we get defiled physically, spiritually, God has made provision for us to be clean and pure before Him. How? Through the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the things I've learned this week about your design for mankind. And Lord, how you want us to be a nation of sanitation. And it begins with one person. We can't look around and wait for the whole nation to change. It begins with one soul at a time. We thank you, Lord, for the washing of your word and the renewing of our minds. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that you forgive us for all of our sins, and that we are new creations in you, Lord. I do pray for our nation, Lord, that we would turn back to you, that we would first of all become morally clean, and that would, of course, change a lot of things within our culture today that we have to deal with. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be like the lepers or those people with issues and discharges, crying out, unclean, unclean. Thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed us and washed us and made us white as snow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I got through it. Praise the Lord.